Saints, we do greet you in Jesus' name this evening. The song says, "Then sings my soul." Amen. Your lips, but your soul. Amen. Is it not wonderful when your soul praises the Lord? That's when you get a blessing back from the skies. You know, whenever it's your soul, it's so easy to come. Your mind is full of other things. Your heart is full of the world, the cares of the world. You're singing in the words, but there's no divine blessing in it. But what a wonderful thing that it is when your soul, "Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee." Because He's the Savior of your soul. He fellowships with your soul. He communes with your soul. He quickens your soul. How many times does He do it for you, friends? He's so gracious in what He does. So we do greet you this evening as we come for prayer meeting. A lot of things to pray for this evening. So we just want to have a look at a few things in the Word and then come to a time of prayer. Let's open Luke chapter 21. In fact, sorry, we'll just read Revelation chapter 10. We'll get to Luke 21. Revelation chapter 10. Oh, good old familiar scripture. But let's read from verse 8 up to verse 11. Revelation 10 verse 8. "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." Saints, we come for prayer meeting. Let's all put ourselves before the Lord at the beginning of the prayer meeting. We're not in any hurry here. Let's all put ourselves. Maybe you've had a day where you've had to wrestle and fight with different things. Let's come lay ourselves on the altar, bring ourselves before the Lord. Let's prepare our hearts for whatever it is that we're going to fellowship around before we come to pray for the needs of other people. So let's put ourselves before the Lord. Father, to lay ourselves upon the altar, even at this time and upon this evening, Lord, just so desiring to submit myself unto thee. Father, at this time I just want to wait upon thee, Lord, just for that divine leadership, Lord, just for your grace, just for your mercy, Lord. You know, my prayer for thee, Father, just so that I, Lord, that Lord, save your Father, for the things that have happened, Lord, and we understand the very anxious, Lord, prayers, Lord, our prayers that was answered, Lord, Father, Father, you, Lord, save your Father, and say, now, Lord, Father. Elijah had already come, John the Baptist, he had already done his work, he departed, and now it was an interim period between Elijah coming and judgment upon Jerusalem, when judgment was going to fall. And Jesus now, when he was with his disciples in verse 5, says, "And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts." And it's like many times like us, we start looking at this world like it's so nice, that it's going to last forever. Verse 6, he said, "As for these things which you behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. But just in these last couple of services, we've been speaking about the hour of temptation. You know, we really do see it. Even if you're just half spiritual, I believe, in this age, if you look at what's going on around you, it's not possible but to see that this world is moving into a cycle that it's irreversible and it's hastening quicker and quicker and quicker. You know, so we don't know the times, we don't know exactly the days and the hours. It's not for us to worry about those kind of things. But we can see the season, the time and the season that we're living in. These things, Paul says in the Bible and Peter says in the Bible, are not to take us unawares. You know, so no matter what it is that we see, no matter what circumstances... Want to use that one, yeah? No matter what circumstances that we see, no matter what takes place, You know, I don't think for a believer anything will really take you by surprise. No, because as a believer, there's always a divine provision. And I just wanted to speak a little bit about that before we come to pray about the grace provision in the hour of temptation. Now, to the children of God, the hour of temptation is one of the most glorious times. Now, when the world moves into a stage and it gets darker and darker, it just gives more and more of an opportunity for the Lord to manifest himself on behalf of his children. As we were saying on Sunday, when everything's going well, the prophet says, you know, when everything's easy, you don't really seek the Lord the way that you should. He's not as real as he could be. Now, your soul doesn't seek him with an earnestness the way that it is when, you know, temptation comes, trial or whatever adversity would come. And it's the same with any hour of temptation when it comes upon the earth. You know, the only thing that you don't want is for things to take you unawares. Now, there's nothing worse than things taking you by surprise. But that's why in this time, the elect of God, you could really, really see the blessing that the Lord gave to them by revealing to them exactly what it is that was coming upon their age. Now, Matthew 24 mainly speaks about the signs of his coming, speaking up to our age. But Luke chapter 21, they asked him specifically, what will be the sign when we see not one stone being left upon another in the temple? And if you read Luke 21, most of it is speaking about the destruction of the temple. It's telling these disciples in their day what it is that was to come upon the earth. And friends, that is a grace provision. That is a real provision of grace. You know, don't you love to put yourself in the Word, to look back and say, but ah. Now, the people that the Lord loved in that age, this is what he did for them. Now, then you put yourself in your age and say, but the Lord's doing the same thing for me. He's doing the same thing for you. You know, that you can go and place yourself in the Word at whatever junction of time that you want to look at, and you will see yourself in the Word. If you go back to the days of Elijah, you're going to find yourself as the widow of Zarephath. You're going to find yourself as a Gentile, you know, and her husband had died. And, you know, here came Elijah, and Elijah was specifically sent to her just as the famine was becoming fierce and was setting in upon a nation in the days of Ahab and Jezebel, which is exactly a type of our age. But you can see God's desire and God's manifestation towards them that found favor in his sight in each of those ages. You know, when you and I look back, we see ourselves, and we look at Rahab, and we say, but the prophet says it's a type of the Gentile bride. She had been caught up in prostitution and the harlot and the daughters and so forth there in Jericho. But then God, under the Joshua commission, ministered her under the token. Just at the time when everything was about to collapse, when the whole system of the Gentiles was about to collapse, just as Israel was about to move back in and take its inheritance that had been promised to it. Just at that time, you find there's a Gentile. And she never ever met Moses. She never met the man who had the two signs personally herself. She never met the man who went up on the mountain and the angels came down. Like, we never met Brother Branham personally ourselves. But God sent her two messengers, two spies. And that's the way that he ministered under the token. You know, so we can really look at that and say, you know, maybe how many years, 40 years after, or so many years after Moses died, it was Rahab. You know, and God was ministering her by grace into grace in her age. And I really find it such a wonderful thing to look at, because no matter the other trials you may have in your life, no matter what people say about you, no matter how people may misunderstand you, no matter how your family may be against you and different things, whatever it is. But when you can look and find yourself in the Word and find out that in every age, when it got to a conditions like our age is getting to, we can see the way that God bestowed his favor upon his people. And then we can look at this world coming into the same condition as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. And we can see the Lord is doing exactly for us what he did for his beloved in the ages gone by. And I think that's something we really, really need to meditate upon. Because we need to use the right standard when we're trying to assess, you know, what does the Lord really think about me? The prophet says the proof of his love, his election, is that he chose you. He said he may commit you to suffering like he did Job. He may commit you to death like he did Paul. He says it's with a purpose, but the proof of his love is that he chose you. And he brought you, saved you through the belief of the truth, and he sanctified you by his grace. And he's brought you under his divine grace provision as we move into whatever hour of temptation that it is. And even as an individual inside of your life, you know, it's really good to bear record and to bear witness and testimony of the Lord. If you look inside of your life, every time you come into trial, has the Lord not been there for you? Be honest. Has there ever come a time where you've been in a crisis or a trial and the Lord hasn't bestowed grace upon you at that time? Hasn't manifested himself to you at that time? Hasn't helped you and done something for you that was far above what you would even expect at that time? Now, maybe he didn't give you a full bank account. Maybe he didn't give you a limousine, but he did something in your soul. Now, he quickened you. He visited you. He revealed something to you. He manifested himself in a certain way to you at that time. And that was his grace provision to you. And the great confidence I have in the future is I just need to look in the past. I just need to look and see the way that his grace has been with me. Despite the times that I've let him down, despite the times that I've, you know, my hands have gone down and the different things that we go through in this journey of life. But if I look back from the time that he called me to this message, he's never let me down. Whenever the devil thought he had me, the Lord's always been there just to take me through. Maybe it was sickness, maybe it was spiritual, you know, condition, maybe it was discouragement, whatever it was, temptation that would come in various ways. But by his grace and by his mercy, you can just look back and see time and time again. Whenever the enemy came in like a flood, God, every time inside of your life, he raises up a standard and he takes you through it. So why should we fear what's to come? Why should we fear? You know, no matter, it might be a bigger trial, but it's just going to bring forth a bigger manifestation of his grace. You know, it may get even darker times than we've ever been through, but it's just going to make his light manifest even brighter to us in the midst of that darkness. And so I think that is the confidence that a believer should have. That no matter how dark things get, no matter how the scriptures speak of the things that are to come, you know, it's just an opportunity for the Lord to really reveal himself to you and I in a way which is far more real than he's revealed himself to us already. You know, because when the enemy comes in, God always steps in. There's always a point where the Lord says, enough is enough to the enemy. And then he manifests himself on behalf of his people. You know, and I don't think you and I have any right to be able to doubt those things. Now, what evidence do we have? What grounds do we have? To like, if the devil would bring an accusation today against the Lord to us and say, you know, but he doesn't love you. You know, he hasn't been faithful to you. Can you honestly say that if you wrote things down and marked down every instance in your life that the Lord hasn't been faithful and true to you? He's been so faithful and he's been so true. And that's his grace. And I really do look upon that as I see these things coming upon the earth. God always has a grace provision for his people in the hour of temptation. And he's already been keeping us. He's already sent us Elijah. He's already done all the things which he's promised to do. And he's brought us under his provision for this age. And as we look back to the ages gone by, to the types and the shadows that go by, right from the beginning of the Bible, right from the days of Noah, right the way through, every one of which was a type and a shadow of this age, we'll find ourselves, if you will be honest with yourself and you want to identify yourself in that age, you'll find yourself amongst the beloved of the Lord. You'll find yourself amongst them that God has set his heart upon, that God is going to deliver, that God is going to manifest himself on behalf of. If you put yourself back in Egypt, where are you going to find yourself? You're going to be in Goshen because you've got a prophet of the pillar of fire. You've got a thus saith the Lord. You see the plagues all around, but they're not striking your home. You know, so you're going to find yourself, if you look inside of the word, that, hey, I'm amongst the elect. You're going to find the blood on your door because you believe thus saith the Lord and you've taken the message and you've applied it and you've put the blood on the door. You know, so you're going to find yourself in the right place by the grace of God. If you're just walking with the Lord, despite your ups and downs, despite your good days and your bad, that's got nothing to do with it. That's all part of the learning process. But if we look at all of these hours of temptation in the Bible, you'll find yourself in a good position there. You'll find yourself just as you would if you look in Luke chapter 21. You will find yourself one of those disciples sitting at the feet of Jesus when he went up in the evening time onto the Mount of Olives. And he was now teaching his disciples. And they were saying, what's going to happen in this age? You know, hey, we see this great, this economy being built up. And we see, you know, this great civilization being built up. He says the same to us. He says, let me tell you one thing. Not one stone's going to be left upon another. And it's going to happen in this generation. That's what he was telling his disciples then. He says, this generation will not pass away until all of these things are fulfilled. That's exactly the age we're living in, because we're living just as much in the days of the Son of Man as they were living in the days of the Son of Man. They had the revealing of the Son of Man. He came down in flesh to die as a man. Now, we didn't have him coming in flesh in that form, but he's revealed himself through a Son of Man. But it's the same ministry, it's the same manifestation. And he's come and he's told us exactly the things that are to come upon the earth in our age. So there should be nothing really that takes a believer by surprise. As long as we're doing what Revelation 10 says, as long as we're eating the book, that's all that we're supposed to do is, John, go and take that book from the hand of the angel, you know, and go and eat that book. And then when you eat that book, you can prophesy as well. Now you can speak, you and that book will become one. And I think that's really what the Lord is looking to us to do in this kind of an age. And that's why those basics like your prayer life and spending time in the Word, there's no substitute for those things. The being faithful in those little things is the thing that prepares you for the trial when it comes. Now you just be faithful in the little things, be faithful on a daily basis, and He's going to take care of the things that you can't take care of. Now when the enemy comes in and there's a Red Sea, He's going to have to open the Red Sea as long as you're in the line of duty. As long as you're doing your best to follow Him, He's going to take care of you. When you're in the wilderness, and like you and I have been many times, and your soul is hungry, what happens? He teaches you, man shall not live by bread alone. He brings manna down from heaven. And Jesus says, I am the living bread that comes from heaven. And the prophet says, we're living on the body word of the Son of Man. And you'll just take a message, or you'll just do something, put on something and listen, and the Lord will come and feed your soul once again. And you'll be satisfied in the midst of famine when the rest of the religious world is dying. They're perishing under this famine. But you, the cruse of oil, the bowl of meal, the barrel of meal, never goes dry. It may get low sometimes, but it never runs out. You'll just go and look once again, and there'll be something else that's going to nourish you. Something else is going to sustain you. There's going to be some oil in there once again that's going to quicken you through whatever situation that it is. And to any believer, as long as your sins are under the blood, and you're sincere and genuine before the Lord, every single time He's going to keep manifesting Himself. He's going to keep providing. He's going to keep watching over. He's going to keep taking you through the trials. So why should we fear? Amen. What is it that we need to fear? We don't need to fear anything. Amen. The only thing we should fear is fear itself. That's what they say. Because the experience of our past and the testimony of our Christian walk is a sure and evident token that He is faithful to us in our times of temptation. In our hours of trial, our hours of temptation, those have always turned out to be the most glorious times in our experience. Those have turned out to be the stepping stones that have taken us somewhere else in our experience. Now, when everything is just going well, you don't grow very much. No, you don't progress very much in your spiritual walk. But when the darkness comes, the sickness comes, the trial comes, whatever that it is, you'll seek Him. Your soul will seek Him in a certain way. It's like your soul that was slumbering seems to wake up once again. It's like Christ who's been asleep in the boat. You wake Him up once again. And then He manifests Himself on your behalf. And it becomes a testimony. It becomes a stepping stone. It becomes something you can write in your spiritual diary as something that's in your Christian experience that you'll never forget all the days of your life. The prophet says those sacred sands, God wants to take His children to those sacred sands to do something for you on those sacred sands. That no matter all the devils in hell will never be able to take that away from you. And that's why, friends, the hours of temptation, as long as you're walking with God, it doesn't mean you have to be perfect in your flesh. You'll never be perfect in your flesh. You'll never be perfect in your mind, because this mind will pass away at the body change. This mind is corrupted. This mind, it's the greatest battle ever fought. But in your soul, in your desire, in the inside man, you have a perfect desire. And when you get in prayer and you allow your soul to express itself, friends, that's when things are going to take place. Now, just laying aside everything else. But He's always been faithful to us in these hours of temptation. And I really do believe that, even as we sent around the message yesterday to say, let's come and pray for those saints in the Ukraine, because things are really, really extreme and very hard in that country now. You know, you and I don't know the individual circumstances. You don't know what each of the people is going through. But I have confidence to believe that God brings something good out of every situation. that he's going to be watching over every one of his sons and his daughters there. That he's already making a provision. He's already making a way of escape. You know, he's already doing something to make himself more real to his children. Because that's the way it's been with you and that's the way it's been with me. You know, when things went bad for us in Zimbabwe, we didn't know that the Lord wanted us to be here. You know, you came your own way. You know, you've been through your own cycles in life as well. But if you'll just let it run its full cycle, you'll find that there's always grace. That you are a recipient of God's grace. He always makes a provision of grace for you and me in the hour of temptation. So when the real hour of temptation comes in, we should be expecting more of his grace. And we know the promises of the word. We know the promises of the message. God has stored up great things for his children just before the coming of the Lord, when the enemy is about to come in. You know, so I think it just depends on which way you want to look at things. Because we can see things are falling apart, friends. We can see the economies are heading to a great crash one of these days. It's not going to take long. And it's not just the Christians saying it. It's the really knowledgeable economists are saying the same thing. They're saying it, and they're saying it loud and clear. They're saying it can't go on very much longer. Now, their economic prophets prophesied 3 years ago. I was watching a very popular economist. He's not a popular man among them, but he's a well-known man. And he was saying exactly what we're seeing now, how these Eurozones printing all of these trillions of euro and pumping it in the economy. And he had said 3 years ago, they're going to end up doing that. He says it's going to come deflation. They're going to have to pump in the money, and that's going to cause the collapse in the end. And America's been doing it as well, printing money and pumping it in the economy, taking their debt to such a level that it can never be sustained. And friends, you and I just look at those things and we know it's going to collapse. Just as much as Rahab looked through the token, which was in her window, and she looked at, you know, the Jericho and that, and she said, this is going to collapse one of these days. Now, this isn't going to take much longer. It's not going to take much more for this whole thing to come crashing down. But she had a grace provision that the Lord had ministered to her in the hour of temptation. The hour of temptation was coming, but God had already provided something for her. That God had already manifested his love towards her by sending those two young men under the Joshua Commission to her. By sending them right to meet up with her in some supernatural way. That her path and their paths intersected right at the junction of time when God was about to pour out the fullness of his judgment upon those Gentiles. And God came and he called her out and her family out and put them safely in a house under a token. And when everything else fell, we were there in Israel. There's a little part of the wall and there's three houses behind the wall. That portion of the wall never fell in Jericho. And that's where Rahab's house was. Friends, no matter which part of the Bible that you look at, you'll find yourself there. And if you're a real believer, you'll find encouragement there. You're going to find out that God has good thoughts towards you. That God has already stored up a provision even before you know that there's a need. Even before you come into the time of need, God's already made a provision for that need. And he will make all things work together for the good. And all he wants us to do is what? John, eat the book. Just keep eating the book. Just keep uniting with the book. That's all that he wants us to do in this age. You know, so I said, I just wanted to show, first of all, so we can really pray for these saints. If you could put the slides there, bro. This is just a picture I used once before coming from Donetsk. But this is what is happening in Ukraine, in the city of Donetsk. As we know, it's in the east of Ukraine. I'll put just a map here. Donetsk is over here. Now, this map is showing why all the trouble has come to them. The red section of the map is the Russian-speaking part of Ukraine. The rest of the map, the blue part, is where the people speak Ukrainian, which is similar to Russian, but it's not the same. So people have come. Here's Russia here. All around there is Russia. And this eastern section has got quite a big portion of Russian-speaking people. Now, we know what's been happening since then. We know that, you know, the Russians have been supplying the rebels and there's become a big civil war and different things taking place there in Donetsk. So that's in the east of the country, and that's also where Brother Gideon is. You know, Brother Maxwell's brother, Brother Maxwell's son, he's in Luhansk, which is just above here, just a little bit above where Donetsk is. It's this area where there's intense fighting. And just in the last few weeks, it's got worse and worse. these rebels that are being supported by Russia, being armed by Russia, are having a fierce, fierce war, trying to take over this eastern region of Ukraine away from the Ukrainian government. And the rest of Ukraine, the Ukrainian government, they want to join the EU. They want to be aligned to Europe because they're surrounded by Europe on the other side. And this has caused a great, great struggle. And friends, what we see happening there is really a picture of the day we're entering into. Because the prophet always said, watch Russia, watch the king of the north. You know, we can see a struggle now between Europe, between NATO, and between Russia. And it's starting right there in the eastern part of the Ukraine. And we know what the prophet says about those kind of things. But if I have to just go through, this is the pastor there, Brother Vladimir Ryabov. Such a fine man, wonderful brother. I was there twice. That was in their church, in the church office. I went once to Brother Vergas there. Really, really fine, wonderful believers there. This is their church. This is how the church was. They had maybe 250, 300 believers there. It was a real, real wonderful place. I'm sure by now, when we last spoke to him a few weeks back, there was less than a third of the people left. I'm sure it's far less than that now. It's many just the old people and those people that haven't managed to get out of that situation, haven't managed to leave that area because they're right in the crossroads, right in the intersection of where, you know, these rebel forces have taken over Donetsk and the Ukrainian forces are trying to bombard them out of there to take it back as part of Ukraine. And Russia's pouring in tanks and pouring in all these weapons. And this is right where there's a great civil war taking place. That was the musicians. They had real fine young musicians. Very, very wonderful place. It was a blessed place to go. That was when you had the youth meeting with them. That was the youth. We had such a fine time with the young people. Donetsk itself, that's how it was. You know, just 2 years ago when I was there. You know, it was a modern city. It was being built up. They had the European football there, the Euro, whatever it was, 2012. They had it there. You know, so everything was modernized. They're building new motorways. You know, if you had gone there, it was just a lovely place. Very nice. A place with new buildings and everything like that. And friends, it's not like it anymore. You know, and to me, the lesson that I learned from this is that none of those believers would have believed if you'd have told them 2 years ago that their city now would be a ruin. They would never have believed it. Just as much as when Jesus was saying to those disciples, you see these goodly stones, not one stone's going to be left upon another. You know, those believers, they never anticipated, I'm sure, in a sense, that things could change so quickly. You know, that from living and having good jobs and, you know, doing well, having a wonderful church, a growing church, they had a printing press, they were translating the messages, printing them, they have all sister churches in all the other little towns round and about, that big conventions and things. I never would have believed that in such a short space of time since last year, that place could become the center of a civil war. That people, everybody who could, is fleeing from the city, trying to get themselves out of that zone because it's such a dangerous zone. This is the new airport they built. I was there. That's where we flew from. Who would have thought 2 years ago that that exact airport, can I show you a picture of it now? That's what it looks like now. It's completely bombed and ruined. There's no airport anymore. That's one of the centers of the fighting. But when I was there 2 years ago, looking at this great building they built, this new terminal they built because of the football, so modern with all the latest technology in it, if somebody had have told me, come in 2 years' time, not one stone is going to be left upon another. This place is going to be a smoking, burning ruin like it is there. I never would have believed it. But that's the way that it is today. This is what the airport new terminal used to look like. If you go there now, that's what you see. It's just completely destroyed. And friends, that should speak to us of something. That should speak to us because that's going to happen to this age. Now let's really understand, if we're living in the channel of the inspiration of the ministry of the Son of Man, let that channel keep us watchful. Let it keep us in a condition that we know we don't know the hour, we don't know the day. We have to keep planting our potatoes, the prophet said. We're not fanatics. We don't do that kind of stuff. We don't sell everything and go and live in the mountains like people do. But friends, let's be watchful. Let's be vigilant, because this which has happened to them is going to come upon this entire age. Because that's what Jesus said. And that's what the prophet came and continually warned us about in this age. That same Russia that's causing a destruction there is going to destroy Europe. He's going to burn the Vatican with fire in a single hour. The prophet, thus saith the Lord, Rome is going to be destroyed by atomic warfare. And this European Union, this revived Roman Empire that the Pope will be ahead of, it's going to be destroyed by the Russians. You know, and people are going to get caught up just like these people. Because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, they were just eating and drinking and planting and marrying and building, giving in marriage, thinking that it's going to go on forever. And they didn't know there was coming a destruction. And that destruction came and completely wiped out that civilization. So, saints, when I look at what's happened to the believers there, by the grace of God, the majority of the believers have managed to get out. But like I said yesterday, this warfare has moved into other surrounding towns. And the brother always helped me to get the visa there. Brother Sergei Gridasov, a real nice brother with his young family, had a good job. He was in IT and so forth, working in another town. The warfare just got in, surrounded his town. And yesterday, him and his family had to flee from that town to the Russian border. And we watched it on the Russian news with Gitana last night, and we saw the long queues of people. You hear the bombardment going on in the distance. And people standing there, and they were women and children with babies in freezing conditions. There they have a real winter, standing the whole day in long queues, just trying to flee from the warfare, to get through the border, to try to find refuge in a foreign nation. They're trying to find some place to stay. You've left everything behind, all your furniture, all the possessions that you've worked for, now your job that you had. You know, things have just changed. Things have taken a turn. And now you've got to flee. You're just thinking of survival. You're just thinking about getting away from the horror that you've been experiencing. Because the people were in basements for 5 days. They couldn't come out of their basements for 5 days. They couldn't go and get water. They couldn't go and get food because of the shelling and the bombardment that was taking place. And when they came out now, all these people, they were saying, oh, the old people left behind. It's just old people and helpless people that can't look after themselves. They're the only ones left inside of the towns. And they stuck there in that place. Friends, and to me, when I looked at those kind of things, I said, let's learn from this. Let's watch and learn. That it came so suddenly. I was there. I saw such a fine city, such a lovely region of the country. No, we went and took a walk with the pastor there, and some of the brothers went right to the top of this one big coal mine. They have these big places where they mine the coal, and they make these big like mountains from, you know, of everything that's taken out from under the earth. We went to the top, and he looked all around. Then he was showing us all the different industries and so forth, and went to the big stadium where Shakhtar and Donetsk used to play, the big football team. Then I had to relocate, and they're playing in Kiev now, in the capital. They got called Donetsk, but they can't even go back and play in their hometown because the stadium's been bombarded and shelled, and people took refuge in there, and people were killed there. And just today, they shelled the hospital, and people, innocent people, nurses and doctors, were just blasted in the hospital. You know, friends, it really made me think. Last night when we went and prayed with the children, I was really explaining it to them. And I was saying, you children, we need to thank the Lord for what we've got because you don't know how long we're going to have these things. That we need to thank Him for a roof, like the brothers were singing the other day. A roof over our heads, the sister. No, we need to thank Him for His blessings. We need to thank Him for His blessings on us. We shouldn't take it for granted that we had a warm meal to eat tonight. There's many believers there wondering, where is the next meal going to come from? Amen. You know, we shouldn't take it for granted. We've got a warm bed to sleep in. There's people sleeping in basements where there's no electricity, no running water, because of what's taking place above there. And friends, that's a condition where this entire age is going to get into. Because Jesus says in this Luke 21, He says, as a snare shall it come upon the entire earth, and none shall escape. That's what He says. Let's just read that in Luke 21 before we go any further, just to show what Jesus said about that. In verse 34, Luke 21, this was how He was given an admonition to His disciples in that age. The Son of Man was instructing them in that interim period. Elijah had come and gone. He had prepared a people for the Lord. And now they knew there's going to come a destruction. They were trying to find out, when is it going to be? What do we need to watch out for? What are going to be the signs that happen before this takes place? And the prophets already told us, watch Russia. That's one of the signs we need to watch out for. He's told us, watch the gay agenda. It's going to be as it was in the days of Sodom. And we see the signs all around getting worse and worse and worse. And I'll read you another couple of things the prophet warned us of, which we're moving into, but you haven't got to the fullness. So friends, God has granted us grace. that these things shouldn't come upon us unawares. These things shouldn't, if we're just watchful and we're prayerful, we should know step by step as we walk step by step with the Word, walking with Him, we walk into whatever it is that He has, and He has a glorious provision for His children as we enter into the shadows of the time of temptation. And that's why He says in verse 34, and take heed. Let's read from 32. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Amen. And that happened. Now, Titus came in AD 70. Jesus was about AD 40 years later. Within that generation, He says, this generation's not going to pass until these stones, not one stone's going to appear upon another. And friends, we had the Son of Man Himself, the Logos, the pillar of fire, on the scene once again in this age, showing us it's the last days, friends. Showing us this is the last generation. There's nothing coming beyond us. The prophet says there'll be no one to write our history because there's going to be nothing beyond us. Because we're right in the shadows of His coming. That's what He says. He says, verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Verse 34, and take heed to yourselves. Be careful, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, feasting and eating too much. You know, that kind of a thing. Rejoicing, enjoying yourself like the world does. Be careful. And drunkenness and cares of this life. That's our great snare in this Western world, friends, is the cares of this life. The pressures and those kind of things. The time constraints. You know, that's what you've got to be watchful for. That we don't allow these things to move us out of the channel that we need to stay in this age. In the channel of revelation, the channel of preparation that God has opened for us. We want to keep eating that book. We don't want the cares of this life and so forth to so affect us. And He says, if that happens to you, the cares of this life, He says, so that day come upon you unawares. My, you don't want it to come upon you unawares. Now you want to be walking with Him step by step. Like the prophet says, when you take your child, put him in bed, then you'll say, don't worry, son, daddy's going to turn off the light, but I'm still here. The prophet says, that's the way that the Lord does it. He'll say to his children, it's going to get dark, but don't worry, I'm with you. He says, that's what a father does to his children. You know, you want him to be real in that kind of a way, to be ministering to you. He says, verse 35, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. My, friends, that's a serious scripture. As a snare, it's going to come upon all of them that dwell upon the face of the earth. You know, so when we just look at what's happened to the brothers and sisters there, when we just see the Russian bear flexing its muscles a little bit like that, friend, to you who know the message, it's going to get you going searching to see, what did the prophet say about Russia? What does the scripture say about Russia? Ezekiel 38, the king of the north. He's going to come down. He's going to have all nations with him. He's going to come with Persia, which is Iran. He's going to come with Libya, all those Muslim nations. He's going to come against Israel. And then you read in Revelations, and you see Rome, Babylon being burnt with fire. And the prophet comes and tells us it's Russia. Russia's going to burn them with fire. So we can see the conditions, the nations are jostling for position. But we see the revived Roman Empire. We see the European Union. We see it rising up again. And we see the Pope, the beast, will take over in the end. On the other hand, we see Russia now becoming a major player. It's got even more advanced weapons, last week they reported, than America does now. The Russians have more advanced nuclear missiles than America does. Because America is Belshazzar's drunken feast. They've fallen asleep, not knowing that the enemy is right at their gates. Now they've got in there, Hollywood, you know how the prophet preached handwriting on the wall. And God sent them someone to discern, interpret the handwriting on the wall, to say, many tekel ufasen. Your days are numbered. You've been found wanting. Your kingdom has been taken from you. And China in November, officially overtook America as the largest economy in the world. In every way, America is falling down. In every single way. And the prophet told us years back, he saw the handwriting on the wall. He says, it's doomed. Watch. And he says, I saw America as a smoking ruin. As far as I could see from horizon to horizon, I heard a mighty blast. I turned around. I saw America as a smoking ruin. Friends, that's the age that we're living in. No, but we need those things to be real to us. Because if they're not real to us, we start playing around with the world. We start playing around in Belshazzar's drunken feast. We start partaking of the sins of Sodom. We start partaking of the sins of Babylon, and then we get her plagues upon us when they come. Friends, the Lord's grace that is upon us doesn't want us to be ministered in that kind of a way. But He wants to keep the channel of revelation, the quickening power, the channel of preparation. He wants you to stay as much as you can, your soul, in that place where He's real, where He's declaring Himself to you, so that you can walk with Him right into whatever it is that He wants you to walk into Him with. Because He's warning us just as much as in our age, we got a warning about this age. Jesus says it in verse 36, "Watch ye therefore and pray always." That's the key, watch and pray. "That you may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." And friends, there's no reason why any of us should miss that. There's no reason. There's no divine reason. He's given us everything we need. He'll give us everything we need in time to come. He'll continue to minister everything we need. All we need to do is continue to walk with Him. But we need to be prayerful. We need to pray always. We need to watch and pray lest we enter into temptation, because the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak. We need to be careful about those kind of things. So you can see, I don't know if that's the same aeroplane, but we flew on one of those aeroplanes when he went from Donetsk to Kiev. Because you can't fly directly to Donetsk. You have to go to Kiev, the capital, and then fly to Dublin or London, wherever. And look at the planes now. You never would have thought in those days when you saw those beautiful jets lined up there in this beautiful airport, that just within a year and a half, it's a ruin. The jets have been bombed. The place is just a ruin, a smoking ruin. Friends, it's hard to believe. But that's why to this generation, it's hard for this generation to believe. But there's coming the burning of Sodom. We've already had the Son of Man coming down. We've already had the prophet with five letters. The Son of Man came to Abraham and told him of the burning of Sodom. And Abraham entered into the spirit of intercession and prayed for Lot. And God delivered Lot, and then the fire fell and there was the burning of Sodom. Then Abraham received the promised son. You know, it's exactly the same conditions in our age. Friends, we're not far from the burning of Sodom. We don't set dates, we don't set times, but we're in the season. We can see the events coming together, the nations positioning themselves. We can see it, it's so clear. We see America taking its position, Israel taking its position, the European Union taking its position, Russia taking its position. And the Muslim nations uniting themselves together like that. And that's exactly how they have to be in order for prophecy to be fulfilled. It's never been like that until our age, that we find prophecy from Ezekiel 2,500 years ago, that the king of the north, Gog, the prince of Magog, Gog and Magog, will make an alliance with those Muslim nations, including Iran, Persia. And just this week, Putin speaking to Iran again, making an agreement with them. It's a serious thing, friends. If the prophet was here, you know what he'd say to us? It's later than you think. Amen. He'd say, it's later than you think. Friends, it's later than we think. Let's just fulfill our commission. That's what the Lord's looking for us to do. That's what He really wants us to do. Let's just come to this thought before we pray. The prophet speaking about His great provision that He makes for us. Like I said, the purpose of these things that have happened in the past, the purpose that Jesus points us back to the days of Sodom, the days of Lot and so forth. The purpose the prophet came in this age and would point us back to Elijah and the meal offering and all those kind of things. Showing us about Rahab and as I was with Moses. Is so that we can identify ourselves. Amen. We can look back to conditions that were similar to our age. We can see how God manifested Himself and we can see the recipients of that manifestation. We can see what God expected of them. We can see what God did for them. And we just need to find ourselves there. Identify ourselves and say, but my, we are the most privileged of people, friends, in this kind of a time. Your relatives may be rich. Your brother, your sister may have empires, may have degrees that you can plaster the wall. Now, you may be wondering, when am I ever going to get a job? But you're a far more privileged person. You're the privileged of all the privileged people of the earth. Not because I say it, but go and search it in the Word. Go and find yourself in the Word. You're going to find yourself sitting at the feet of Jesus and the Son of Man instructing you about this age. You're going to find yourself applying the token as soon as you heard that message to say, put the scarlet thread in the window. You couldn't rest. You couldn't wait. You made sure you put that scarlet thread. You're going to find yourself down there in Egypt when Moses is saying, slay the lamb. Take the blood with hyssop. You're going to find yourself taking the hyssop, carefully putting the blood, because that's the way that you live your life. Amen. You know, so what should we fear, friend? Should we fear the death angel? Should we fear the plagues of Egypt? Why should we fear such things? Because he's granted us grace, a provision of grace right in the hour of temptation. And as it gets darker, as it gets worse, as it falls apart, it's just an opportunity for him to show more grace, to manifest himself on behalf of his people. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Look what's happening to the saints in Ukraine. It's not easy, but there's a purpose. You can't tell me those saints aren't seeking God with an additional fervency to the way they used to seek God. You can't tell me they're not seeking God for clear direction for their future in a way maybe they never sought him before. And I'm sure they're meeting him in a way now which they didn't meet him in the way before. Because the prophet says desperation brings out the true nature of an object. It brings out what you really are when he brings you into those situations. But he does it for his glory. You know, so the prophet speaks. I'll just read from Look Away to Jesus. We'll finish with that. But you know this quote. But he's speaking about the third pull. And he says, I'm going to say something to you now that I haven't said all along. He says, the thing that we have looked forward to for so long, the third pull, has now been vindicated. And I'm sure you all know what it is. He says, now remember, there'll never be an impersonation of that, because it can't be. Now it's in existence. Right at this time, it's just happened. So it could identify its presence among you. Don't you love his presence when it comes in your soul, when it comes in your prayer, when it comes when the saints gather together? And the third pull came down in the prophet and identified itself. Sister Hattie Wright's house, the squirrels, Sister Mida the tumor, the storm. That was the third pull identifying its presence amongst us. The prophet says, it's just happened so it could identify its presence among you, see? But it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. You see, the grace provision, that's all that's there for your hour of temptation. He says it won't be used in a great way. But you've had situations in your life that in your personal hour of temptation, see how he's manifested himself. See how he's quickened you in prayer sometimes to speak things and to say things. And you wonder why you said it. And then it comes to pass. So it's not going to be used in a great way. But for your personal hour of temptation, the grace provision's there. He's already identified his presence that is with his bride. He's with his people. But the prophet says it won't be used in any great way until the hour of temptation starts coming in. Once it starts to press in even more. He says, it'll not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. He says, and when it does, the Pentecostal so forth can almost impersonate anything. But when the squeeze comes down, then you will see what you've seen temporarily manifested in the fullness of its power. Our friends. So why should we worry about what's to come? Because what a promise to us. You know how wonderful the manifestations of the past to you have been, to me have been, in our hours of trial. Now there's coming the supreme hour of trial. There's coming the hour of temptation that God has already identified and stored up a provision for you and I that's going to manifest itself in the fullness of its power. And now it can manifest itself, but the prophecy is then it's going to manifest in the fullness of its power. He says, now, I must continue in evangelism as I was commissioned. Therefore, you've had the word, he says. You know what to look for and how to stand. For the hour is approaching swiftly, see, that when something's going to be done. Now the devil's going to do something, the prophet's going to tell us, and the Lord's going to do something. The hour's approaching swiftly that something's going to be done. And Satan's moving his pieces in place. He's passing his laws, bringing nations, quickening them, preparing them. And God's moving his people and he's preparing them and taking you through things and shaving off things that you don't need and purging you of things that you don't need. And he's preparing you as well. And just like Moses, when God prepared Moses in the wilderness, and here was a Pharaoh that Satan was preparing for persecution of his people, just at the time that Pharaoh came to his fullness, Moses was ready. And that's the way that God deals with his people. Doesn't matter what the devil does. He prepares you and I. That just at that time, you're going to find that God's going to have prepared you. You'll be ready for whatever it is to come. Though your flesh may fail, your flesh may wander, but your soul's going to kick in at that time. That born-again soul is going to kick in at that time, and it's going to recognize Him in His fullness at that time. So the prophet says, you might see some little odd things happen. He says, I'm going to have to drop back here, watching that spot and waiting for the time to use it. He says, but it's going to be used. You see, so the prophet, he could see that God had manifested the third pool. Now the message was going out to catch the bride, the rainbow trout. And the prophet knew, but events need to catch up. There are certain prophecies, certain nations, things have to move into a certain position, and then it's going to manifest in its fullness. And friends, we're not far from there. The way the nations are moving. Listen to what he says about it. He says, so the third pool is here. And it's so sacred that I mustn't say much about it. He told me in the beginning, he says, this, say nothing of it. You remember that. He says, I don't say the Lord tells me this, but this will be the thing that'll start the rapturing faith for the going away. Right, so just at that time, just as much as I say when you've been in your personal trial and there's that girl at work and she's trying to snare you, and God just gives you a special quickening of grace to deliver you like He did Joseph from Potiphar's wife. Now you've experienced that quickening in your hour of need that you wonder, where did that come from? How much more when the supreme hour of need comes and the super anointing comes down, the third pull, and He comes and He completely quickens His bride at that time. Friends, that's a divine provision of grace for the hour of temptation. So to a believer, we look to the promise. We look to the potential. We look to the purpose that God has in bringing these things upon the earth. And you learn it from your own situation, your own testimony, that God makes all things work together for the good. Every single time. It always works something for your good, something for His glory. He makes Himself more real. He ministers you deeper. He ministers you further. So friends, we don't have to worry about the things that are come. But we need to be watchful. We don't need to be caught up in the affairs of this life. We need to be walking with Him. So the prophet is coming to a close. He says, I must lay quiet for a little while. Remember, you who's listening to this tape, you may see a change in my ministry. This was 1963. He says, dropping back, not going up. He says, we're right at the age now. But it can't go no further. He says, God has manifest Himself, but now we need events to catch up. So therefore, I need to drop back, go back into evangelism. It's going to come a change in the ministry now, but it's identified itself among you. He says, we're right there. We just have to wait a minute until this happens over here, he says, to catch up. Then the time comes, but it's been thoroughly identified. So He's told us that something has to catch up. Now He's going to tell us in the next paragraph, what is it that needs to catch up? Paragraph 45. The next paragraph He says, there's coming a time in this nation, America, where this nation is going to exercise all the power that the beast had before it. My, so He's getting us to Revelation 13. You know, so it's going to have to be a boycott, going to have to be a World Council of Churches. America's going to have to forget about freedom of religion. And friends, they've come far under this Pharaoh that knows not Joseph there. This one who's got the Muslim middle name, he's not a Christian in any way. And the laws he's passed and the things that he's done, there's never been a president that's taken away the liberty of Christians like this man. And the laws that have been passed, it had to be like that. He's the man for the hour. The prophet says Revelation 13 plainly explains it. The lamb came up out of the earth. The other beast came out of the water. So America was the lamb out of the earth. The revived Roman Empire comes out of the water, the multitudes of people. America has the two horns like a lamb, speaks at first like a lamb, freedom of religion, separation of church and state, the prophet says. But it doesn't take long. It's still a lamb. It's still a young nation. And it starts to speak like the dragon. Friends, that's the cycle we're in now. We can see it every single day. What's happening? He says, and then after a while he received power, spoke like a dragon, exercised all the power the dragon had before him. And the dragon is Rome. Always remember that. He says, you'll have to be in this council of churches or you won't be able to have fellowship. Can you see how the squeeze is coming in? They're going to want to close us down. They're going to want to say, you can't preach if you don't believe these kind of things. Stop saying those things about homosexuality and stop saying those things about, you know, the things that we speak about. The prophet says, it's tightening. And when that time comes and the press comes to a place where you pressed out, then watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. Watch the third pull then. See? It'll be absolutely to the total lost. It'll be for the bride, for the church. Now, we are closer than it seems to be. I don't know when, but it's real, real close. He says, I may be taken before that time. How the prophet is powerful when you read the message. I went and read the message when he preached in 1964. I think it was Why It Had to Be Shepherds, one of the Christmas messages. And the way he spoke to those businessmen, he says, think about it. This will probably be the last Christmas that we ever spend together. He says, it may be the last Christmas we ever spend together. And it was. You know, the prophet, he said a lot of things in that down that kind of a line. He says, I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. It's paralleled it in every way. And it will. The message will go on. So friends, that's the time that we're living in. We see these things happening among the nations. We see the laws being passed. We see the morals. We see the seven visions of the prophet. We see women naked just with fig leaves, just about on the street. Just this week, just yesterday, they said on the news, Germany's making a section of the Autobahn, the motorway, where they're going to allow cars to drive without drivers. They're going to use it as a test portion of the Autobahn to allow vehicles to drive without drivers. And they're wanting to license them in the next couple of years. And the prophet says that. He says, we've got that car. I saw the car where there was no driver, people playing some kind of a game. The prophet says, we're just waiting for the highways to be built. And friends, I spoke about it yesterday. That's, I wonder about these people who speak about the prophet not being a prophet. I wonder which message they read. I wonder why don't they just go and read those kind of, look in the newspaper and see, but hey, this man was telling us exactly the conditions of our day. This was the ministration of the Son of Man. So friends, as we come this evening to pray for these saints in the Ukraine, as we see what's happening with Russia, tussling with Europe already, as we see it starting, let's not forget what's coming upon this age. Let's not forget that this is just a foreshadow. The prophet says it about, he says it in the message, Mark of the Beast. He says, I'll prove to you communism, which is Russia, is working straight in the hands of Almighty God to destroy Rome. I say this as God's prophet. The Russian Empire will drop an atomic bomb of some sort on the Vatican City and destroy it in 1 hour. That's thus saith the Lord. And the Bible says God took them cruel-hearted men. Putin's a cruel-hearted man. And put them in his hands. So God uses them as vessels in his hands. And they were instruments in his hands to fulfill his will, because he wants to judge Rome. He wants to judge this Roman Empire, friends, and to bring back to her exactly what she had coming to her. Then he says, in greatest battle ever fought, his first time he came, Jesus, he came under the Roman kingdom. And when he returns, he will come back to wipe out that Roman kingdom. And friends, we're living right in the shadow of those things. So let's search ourselves. God is so gracious, friends. He has such a provision of grace for his people. I think we just need to lay more on the altar. The prophet says all that we need to do is lay in the presence of the Son. Just to wait upon him, let him bake the greenness out of us. Just fellowship with his promises. Just remember his goodness. Think of his faithfulness to you right the way from when he led you into this message. When he revealed himself to your soul, the way that he's kept you, the way that he's led you and guided you. Yes, through many toils, many trials, that's the way that it's going to have to be. But friends, he's kept you. And at every junction in the road, at those times when you thought you didn't have what it takes to carry on, he manifested himself. When you came into your lion's den and you thought there's no way out, you find his angel was with you. When you came into the fiery furnace of your afflictions and circumstances you thought were going to consume you, you found there was a fourth man in the fire. There was someone who took you through the fire, someone who took you through the trials and tribulations. And by doing it, he enriched your experience. And now he's got such a provision of grace, friends. That's why I read Revelation 10. What do we need to do? Let's keep eating the book. Because the prophet, when he preached the seals, he says, this is the third pull. So the third pull is in the message. We just need to keep eating the message until we become the message. And then we start speaking and it starts to take place. That's all that we've got to do, friends. Let's watch and pray. And as we pray for these saints here, let's really ask the Lord to grant them a special portion of it. I know that He will, because He does it. That's His provision in every time of trial, in every crisis. I'll just finish this with, I took a photo when I was there. This was Brother Vladimir. He was killed in the war there. Such a fine brother. He was a wonderful brother. He used to be a minister there, I think, and maybe he was the pastor. I don't know what he was, but he was a minister in years gone by. He was elderly. He just used to spend all his time doing things for the Lord. He was in his house. He was in the basement. The shelling came right into his neighborhood. There came a lull in the middle of the shelling. He ran upstairs to quickly go and try to help his neighbors and bring them down into his basement. And as he ran up, a shell struck. A piece hit him in the temple. They put him in the car, but he passed away. And the Lord took him home, you know. Friends, it's a sad thing to think of. There's going to be these kind of things. There are going to be things we can't explain, things we don't understand. But it's all with a purpose. Because God makes all things work together for the good. So let's pray for His saints upon this evening. Let's pray for Denzel, had his operation today. Let's pray for him. He's in the hospital. He had surgery. If you can pray for Brother Sammy, the Scottish brother at Brother Tom's. He had to go and have a valve replaced in his heart today. Sorry, yesterday. We met his wife yesterday. And he's still in the hospital. He's got a chest infection and he really needs the grace of God. Because he's had this valve and he's got an infection. He's in intensive care. Brother Sammy MacDonald, you know the Scottish brother who has his daughters and his sons there. Let's pray for them. And there was one other petition as well. Let's pray for these saints. Let's pray. Yes, I just had a call just before service from Brother Greg, the one we baptized on Sunday, his sister. You know, the one who wants to be baptized this coming Sunday. She couldn't come this last week. Her name's Olga. And she was phoning to say that the devil's really attacking her. So she was really asking for prayer. So please, I had to really try to encourage her along the way. Let's pray for her. Name's Olga. She wants to come this week. She wants to be baptized. She wants to set her things right with the Lord. So it's a wonderful thing. But let's keep these things in prayer. Prayer changes things, friends. Amen. The prophet says, how don't you know that you might be the one in prayer who says the right thing to the Lord, brings Him on the scene on behalf of His people. So let's come to a time of prayer, praying for all of these needs, whatever other needs, the saints, whatever you have inside of your heart, let's put it before the Lord. Let's stand. Let's sing one chorus. Let's pray for these saints, especially in Donetsk, in Ukraine. Pray for Brother Gideon. I'm not too sure yet. He was trying to get out from that region, trying to get to Kiev, the capital, but I don't know if he managed to get out yet. Let's pray for Brother Maxwell. He's back this evening, tonight, around 11 o'clock. He flies back in from Italy. Brother Shep. Let's pray for Brother Shep. He really needs the Lord to help him in different things in his life at this time. It's an opportunity for the Lord. Just a singing, let's come to a time of prayer and put these things before the Lord.
Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend, oh life to me, oh to thee, close to thee. veil of shadows. Bend me all, I as faithful sin. Then the gates of life eternal, may I enter, Lord, with thee.
Close friends, it doesn't matter what he takes you through. Let's seek his grace that step by step he may walk with us. Let's put these issues before the Lord, and may the Lord be with us as we pray. Father, we come unto thee, Lord, just with that desire, Lord, by your grace and by your mercy.
Not desire to tie in any way, Lord, Savior God, but we desire, Lord, Savior God, to stop, Lord, Savior, Lord, rising higher and higher, Lord, even as, Lord, Savior, we get closer, Lord, and closer, Lord, Savior God. Father, we ask your grace, Lord, fill of us, Lord, and grant us these, Lord, Savior, needs that we have, Lord, even upon this time, Lord, Savior God. Give us grace, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. If you have a need before the Lord, if you just want to raise your hand, we just ask Brother George if he could close for us in a word of prayer.
We are grateful for this opportunity, Lord, that we have, Lord. Father, Lord, our building, Lord, has not been, Lord, bombed, Lord.
Amen.
Father, Lord, the streets of Dublin, Lord, there's still sanity, Lord. Father, there's still, Father, oh God, mighty Savior, grace, Lord. Father, to continue on, Lord, and search for those that are lost, Lord.
Amen.
Father, give us grace that we, Lord, Savior, continue on, Lord. Father, for Lord, there's still a job to be done here, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we ask your grace that, Lord, Father, many a time, we look at our situation and think we are worse off. But Lord, we are so better off, Lord, Savior
Amen,
God.
Amen, Lord.
Lord, Father, knowing indeed, Lord, it has to start somewhere, Lord, Savior God.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, and it's not going to get better, Lord, Savior. Lord, it'll only get worse and worse, Lord. But we desire, Lord, Savior God, that, Lord, by the time, Lord, Savior, those
yes,
tribulations
Lord.
Hit us, oh God.
Oh, Lord.
Father, Lord, Savior, we'd be in a condition, Lord, Savior God. Father, that we are, Lord, Savior God. Father, sing, Lord, the spiritual side of these things, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we ask your grace, Lord. Father, for where your word is preached, Lord, Father, it has to come to pass, Lord, Savior God.
Yes, Lord.
But we would desire to be found, Lord, even upon thine right side, Lord, Savior God. Striving and working, Lord, till thou would come, Lord, Savior God. Father, you know, Lord, the needs, Lord,
yes,
Savior,
Lord.
That would be there, Lord. Even in Ukraine,
yes,
Lord, Savior God. Brother Rabbi, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
Father, thou knowest, Lord, Savior, Father. Lord, Savior, Lord, his church, Lord. We can
yes,
imagine, Lord.
Lord,
being a pastor, Lord, in, Lord, such a circumstance, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, Lord, Jehovah, we ask your grace, Lord.
Bless
you
him,
provide
him,
grace, Lord. As Lord, grace is needed, Lord, in great abundance,
Amen.
Lord, Savior God.
Yes, Lord.
We pray for our brother, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
Give him the very grace that he would need, Lord. Lord, the brethren that would still be there, Lord, Savior God.
Yes, Lord.
Our church is scattered, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
Father, we ask your grace, Lord, Savior God. Father, even as, Lord, the pastor, Lord. Father, oh God, Lord, was showing, Lord, Savior God, how, Lord, those people would never believe, Lord, Father, that those things would have happened this day, Lord, Savior God.
Yes, Lord.
And we could be the same today, Lord,
Amen.
And never think, Lord, it would happen to us, Lord,
oh,
Savior God.
Lord,
Lord, it would never come by this way, Lord, Savior
Amen.
God. But we see all the pieces in, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
Father, Lord, it's possible, Lord, Savior God, that this thing could spread all over, Lord, Savior God, for your word of prophecy, Lord, as Lord, Savior,
Amen.
Gone by, Lord, Savior God.
Yes, Lord.
All we desire, Lord, Savior
Amen.
God, is that we, Lord, Savior, would be found, Lord, Father, constantly, Lord, in prayer, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
Lord, pray praying without ceasing, Lord Shivakar, getting ourselves, yes, Lord, in a condition, Lord Shivakar, for when that would come, Lord Shivakar, we'd, Lord Savior, be so, Father, quickened, Lord Savior, amen, as Lord Savior, thou hast explained upon this day, Lord Savior, yes, out, Lord, even of the circumstance, Lord Shivakar. We remember the brethren in there, Lord Shivakar, Brother Gideon caught up there, Lord Shivakar. Lord, we don't believe he's, yes, caught, Lord, up, Lord. Yes, Father, Lord, by mistake, yes, Lord, Lord. It's, yes, your, Lord, grace, Lord. Father, amen, Lord, that would help, yes, our brother, Lord, even in that, amen, situation, Lord, and so that same grace would pluck him out, Lord, even in that situation, Lord, Savior, amen, God. We, yes, pray, Lord, your grace, Lord, for our brother there, Lord, Savior, God. We, yes, pray, Lord, for Brother Maxwell as well. Father, you give grace, Lord, Savior, God, that they would see, Lord, Father, Lord, his son come out, Lord, amen, even in that situation, yes, unscathed, God. Lord, Savior, yes, God. We ask your grace, even in this hour. Father, we pray tonight, Lord, Savior, God, remembering, Lord, Savior, God, Father, Lord, the needs that we be even amidst us, Lord, our Brother MacDonald, Lord, Savior,
yes,
God.
Lord,
there, Lord, in that hospital bed, Lord, yes, Savior. Father, with, yes, that, Lord, fever, yes, Lord, Savior, God.
Amen.
Lord, how we would, Lord, Savior, ask, yes, Lord, Lord, that thou would condescend, Lord, Savior.
Yes, Lord.
Right at this minute, Lord, Savior, God.
Lord.
Lord, and wipe away, Lord, Savior, God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that, Lord, Savior, spirit,
yes,
of, Lord, darkness, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, that sickness, Lord, Savior, God.
Please,
that our brother, Lord, Savior, God, may soon recover, Lord, Savior.
Amen.
And be out, Lord, even of hospital, Lord, Savior,
please,
God.
Lord.
Lord, that valve, Lord, Savior,
yes, Lord,
may do the work, Lord, Savior.
Amen.
Lord, that is placed there for, Lord, Savior, God.
Amen.
Bless our brother Tom, Lord, Savior.
Yes, Lord.
And bless our brother MacDonald's family, Lord, Savior,
please,
God.
Lord.
We ask your grace, Lord,
Lord,
and we wait, Lord, Father, with anticipation, Lord, Father,
yes,
for a testimony, Lord, Savior, God.
Amen.
Father, regarding, Lord, our brother MacDonald,
yes,
Lord, Savior, God.
Lord.
We,
yes,
come in all, Father, our needs, Lord. Lord, our young brother, Lord, Denzel, Lord, Savior, we,
yes,
ask your grace, Lord. Bring,
yes,
him out of that hospital bed,
amen,
of affliction, Lord,
yes,
Savior.
Lord.
Grant him deliverance, Lord, we pray.
Yes,
even in the sorrow, Lord, Savior, God, that,
Lord,
we would see him, Lord, Father, even in church, Lord, Savior,
yes, Lord,
soon again, Lord, Savior, God.
Hallelujah.
We ask your grace, Lord.
Yes,
guide,
Lord,
us, even as, please, we would part this night, Lord.
Amen.
Keep traveling, Mrs. Lord, Savior, God.
Please,
Lord, to the many that would travel far out, Lord, Savior, God. You know these cars, how frail they are, Lord,
amen,
Savior. Lord, we ask your grace, Lord, Savior,
please,
God.
Lord.
Remembering, Lord, Savior, Father, Lord, that our days, even in this burning, are numbered, Lord, Savior,
oh,
God.
Lord.
We would,
yes,
ask your grace, Lord, Savior,
yes,
God.
Lord.
Father, you undertake, Lord,
yes,
Savior,
Lord,
God. For,
yes,
we believe,
Lord,
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
When the door to this place, Lord, Lord, is shut, you have another place for us,
yes,
Lord, Savior, God.
Thank you,
Father,
Father,
provide for us, yes, Lord, Savior, God. And if we would be, Lord, Savior, Lord, that we, Lord, Savior, even spend, Lord, even another year or two here, Lord,
yes,
Savior.
Lord,
it would suit us, Lord, Savior, greatly, Lord, Savior, God.
Please,
we ask your grace, Lord, Savior, God.
Please, Lord.
Provide for us, even as we have need, Lord, Savior, God. You supply every need, Lord, Savior, God. Until our next service, Lord, Savior.
Please, Lord.
Father, you be with us, guide us, direct us, Lord, Savior, God. Let us ponder even upon these things, minister,
yes,
upon this day, Lord,
please,
Savior, God.
Christ.
That we, Lord, Savior, incline ourselves, Father, Lord, to these messages, Lord, Savior, God.
Amen.
Lord, that we, Lord, Savior, pay, yes, heed, Lord, Father, to the warning, Lord, even upon this time, Lord, Savior,
yes,
God.
Lord.
For, Lord, we see, Lord, Savior, such a change, Lord, Savior, that's, Lord, Savior, taken over, Lord, Savior, this,
amen,
world, Lord, Savior,
yes,
God.
Lord.
We ask your grace now. We ask your mercy, Lord, Savior, God. Father, we look unto thee, Lord, Savior, God, as we part from you, Lord, Savior, God. You supply, Father, those things that we have need of, Lord, Savior, God. Grace in a time of need, Lord,
yes,
Savior,
Lord,
God. Lord, you, hallelujah, bless, Lord, the pastor as he travels home,
please, Lord,
traveling, Mrs.
Yes,
Lord, Savior,
Lord,
God. Father, Lord, you bless him with these transport issues, Lord,
hallelujah,
Savior, God. We,
yes,
pray,
God,
Lord, Savior, Father, for Brother David, Lord, even,
yes,
the same way, Lord, Savior, God.
Amen.
Supply, even as, Lord, Savior, our brother's need, Lord, even upon this time,
please,
Savior,
Lord,
God. Father, direct us now, Lord, Savior, God. Give us, Lord, Savior, that we be a people, Lord, Savior, God, that we not, Lord, Savior, Father, be given, Lord, Savior, to time, Lord, Savior, God.
Yes,
that we, Lord Savior, really be a people, Lord, that we, Lord, stop talking, Lord, Savior.
Amen.
Father, to, Lord, Savior, each other, but start talking to thee, O God.
Yes,
Lord, we ask your grace, Lord,
amen,
Savior, God. Give us grace now, mercy, Lord, Savior, God. Supply accommodation where accommodations of need,
yes,
Lord, Savior,
God.
Father, guide us now, even as we part. Be with us, Jesus, we pray, and we desire to meet here again on Friday, Lord.
Amen.
Father. Oh, God, continue on, Lord, Savior, God.
Please, Lord.
Father, you bless us and guide us. Bless us as we part, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Saints, meet you on Friday by the grace of God. Just remember what the prophet said. I was really thinking of it. He says, it's a simple statement, but it's the truth. One of these days, we're going to close the Bibles for the last time. One of these days, the last sermon's going to be preached. One of these days, we're going to say, God bless you for the last time. And that's a really good thing to think about. And may the Lord be with you until we meet. Amen. God bless you.
Every hour I need you, oh, bless me now, yes, and there I come today. I need you, oh, I need you. kiss me now.